Turning your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Our scripture reading is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. Paul began Ephesians by reminding his readers of the incredible blessings of salvation that we have received from the Lord. Then, starting in verse 15, he explains how he praises God for the believers and prays for them. Paul's prayer for them, starting in verse 17, is an outstanding prayer that we should also pray for ourselves and for each other. As I read Ephesians 1, 15 through 21 from the NASB Bible, please note the specific prayer that request that Paul mentions. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance with the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come.
Salvation is not just a one-time event in which a person prays a prayer and is good to go for the rest of their lives. Salvation begins when a person believes, but then it continues each and every day as that person continues to grow and mature into the image of Christ. You're saved at that moment that you believe. And then for the rest of your life, you have the opportunity and responsibility to continue. Brother Isaac just read Ephesians chapter 1, 15 to 21. And as you heard him mention, this is Paul's prayer. Paul is praying for his readers, which include you and me, that all of us will understand with our hearts the grand truths of the glorious salvation that God has provided for us. As we understand these grand truths, they will impact our daily lives, because a fuller understanding of our salvation will bring about a transformed lifestyle. And a key component of all this is our mindset and perspective. The mindset, the perspective that God wants us as believers to have is something that comes from God. We began to look at this last week in verse 17. As you just heard read, God the Father has given us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. How is that done? Of course, that's done by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us this wisdom and revelation of our salvation, of how we are to live our Christian life, as revealed in his word. The Holy Spirit is the one who enables our hearts and minds to understand, to grasp, to comprehend the incredible truths about salvation and how they impact how we are living. So Paul's prayer is that we would not just increase our IQ. This is not just an academic exercise as we're growing in our knowledge and understanding of God and the salvation that he has given to us. Instead, Paul is praying that the Holy Spirit will enable believers, you and I, to know, to comprehend just how great our salvation is and how that incredible salvation impacts our lives. In other words, the Holy Spirit enables believers to see life on this earth from God's perspective, to experience a mindset reset. The truth is, all believers need a mindset reset. All believers. Because notice in the text, in verse 18, Paul is praying that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. To enlighten someone is to fill them in on information that they didn't have in the past, or to connect the dots for them with information that they already had, but they didn't see how it fit together, helping them to see and understand what was missing. Now, for believers, we are in continual need of enlightening in the sense that our entire existence on this planet, there is always going to be more truths for us to grasp and understand about God and how he wants us to live based on the truths of his word. Sometimes this enlightening comes in the form of new information that is given to us from his word. It's always been there, we just never saw it or understood it. But other times, that enlightening comes in the form of connecting the dots, as the Holy Spirit helps us to see and understand the truths that we knew intellectually, but had never actually believed or experienced in our hearts. This is why I'm referring to this as a mindset reset. Because I'm guessing that I'm not going to be giving you any very much, maybe none, new information this morning. It's going to be a lot of review. But like Paul, my prayer is that the truths about our salvation will not just be facts that we can spout off as if we're giving answers to the questions on an exam. Instead, I pray that these truths about our salvation will impact the way that we are thinking, will impact the way that we are processing all of life, which in turn is going to have an impact on how we are living life. And it all goes back to our mindset, our perspective. Or as Paul says here in verse 18, the eyes of our heart. When Paul uses that phrase, the eyes of our heart, he's not referring, of course, to the physical heart that is pumping blood, nor is he talking about the seat of our emotions. Instead, Paul's using that word heart, as it's used throughout the New Testament, to refer to the inner person, specifically the mind and the will. One man has explained that the heart can be taught what the brain can never know. The heart can be taught what the brain can never know. You see, our brains know facts. We can recite them from memory. But the eyes of our heart is referring to our mind, our will, our perspective, our mindset. And so enlightening the eyes of our heart is taking the truths we know up here and feeling them, believing them, experiencing them, living them out in our daily lives. So if we're going to have the eyes of our heart enlightened, we're going to allow the incredible truths about our salvation to impact us to the very core of our being. We will have a mindset reset. We'll have a mindset and a perspective that radically influences every aspect of our daily lives. Let me illustrate it this way. All of us know that we are U.S. citizens. You understand that intellectually. You could give all the right answers if you were questioned about it. But the reality of your citizenship doesn't really impact you until you're in another country trying to get back home. In those moments, your eyes of your heart are enlightened to understand just how valuable, how life-changing a U.S. citizenship can be. Or you could think of it this way. A man can know that he is married the week after his wedding, but it's going to take some time for the reality of his marriage to actually sink in and affect his thinking in life. In the first few weeks, even months of marriage, everyone experiences a mindset reset as they understand, as they grasp what it really means to be married in all of life. And in a similar way, as believers, we need a mindset reset. Notice in verse 18, Paul is praying for all believers. He's not just praying for one day old believers who haven't figured everything out yet. Instead, he is praying for all believers at all stages of growth and maturity. And so it doesn't matter if you have been saved for 1 month or 57 years. All believers need a mindset reset. All believers need the eyes of their heart enlightened. Why? Because we are living in a sin-cursed earth. We are still struggling against sin inside of us. The world, the devil, and specifically our sinful lusts, our sinful desires are pulling at us, causing us to think and act wrongly. And so if you are a believer, you need the eyes of your heart enlightened. Paul understood this because the Holy Spirit moved Paul to write those verbs, which are translated enlightened and know. You see those there in verse 18. Both of those verbs in the Greek are in the perfect tense, which describes an action that happened in the past that continues into the present and beyond. So in other words, the enlightening, the growing in knowledge, began at the moment of salvation, but then continues throughout the believer's life. Thus, all believers need a mindset reset. All believers need the eyes of their heart enlightened. Once you understand your need for enlightenment, which again is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we're then ready to see three grand truths that Paul mentions in these verses. These grand truths describe the mindset, the perspective of a person who has the eyes of their heart enlightened. These are the goals, the way a mature believer will think about and process all of life. The first mindset, the first perspective that a believer should have is confidence in God's choice of me. Confidence in God's choice of me. Look again at the text in verse 18. Paul is praying that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. And so a believer with a renewed mindset and renewed perspective will know and understand the incredible hope of God's calling on their lives. You understand that biblical hope is absolute certainty. There is nothing wishful about it. It is certain. And so a believer is able to have 100% confidence and assurance that God has called him to salvation. He is saved because of God's unconditional choice of him. We already saw this back in verse number 4, where Paul reminds us that as believers, we have been called by God before the foundation of the world. He chose us in him. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 8, verse 30. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Notice there is a progression here. If a person is predestined, he is going to be called. If a person is glorified, that means he has been justified. If a person is called, they will be saved. It is a fact. The fact that God has chosen you to salvation guarantees that you will be justified, guarantees that you will be glorified. Thus, you and I, as believers, are able to have confidence in God's choice of us. Remember also that God's choice of you and I was solely God's doing. We had nothing to do with it. As we talked about before, God didn't look down through the corridors of time to see if we would believe. Instead, while we were dead in our sins, God chose to save us. And that reality, that truth, provides us hope. And thus, we're able to have confidence in God's choice of us. That truth is really exhilarating because it reminds us that our salvation isn't ultimately about us. In some ways, we are just along for the ride. We have the opportunity to rest in God's choice of you and me. And as a result, we have hope. We have confidence that God has chosen us. You see, the believer who has confidence in the hope of God's calling is able to rest in God's purpose for me. As the eyes of our heart are enlightened, you and I are able to know and understand the incredible hope that we have in God calling us to salvation. And as a result, we are able to rest in God's purpose for our entire lives here on this earth. As believers, we no longer need to worry or strive for God's acceptance. We are accepted because of Christ's finished work on our behalf. God has already chosen us. Thus, we are able to rest in him as he promises. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because our salvation is secure in Christ, God has called us. We are able to rest in his purpose for us. And so this corollary truth, this connecting reality, is that we are able to rest in God's purpose for us in all of life. You see, God didn't just call us to save us solely for the purpose of sparing us from eternal punishment in hell. While that was a portion of the reason he has called us, that wasn't everything. God has also called us for the purpose of glorifying himself. God has called you and I for the purpose of enjoying him forever. God has called us for the purpose of glorifying us, of conforming us into the image of his Son. Because this is true, we are able to have confidence and hope in God's choice of us. Thus, we're able to rest in the grand plan that God is seeking to accomplish in our lives each and every day. We're able to rest in God's purpose in everything as he continues to mold us and shape us into the men and women he has called us to be. Now, many times, God's daily plan and purpose for us isn't something big and flamboyant for all to see. There are some days like that, but most days, God is working in our hearts little by little, maturing us, growing us as we walk in the Spirit. Thus, no matter what God brings into our lives, we are able to rest in the confidence that he has a purpose behind it and is going to use it, no matter what it is, for our good and his glory, because he has a purpose for us in everything. This is true of the big and the little things in life. And so if your child spills his cereal all over the floor, God has a purpose in that. You see, if the eyes of your heart are enlightened, you will be able to rest in God's purpose for that inconvenient set of circumstances. That's true in the little things, and it's true in the big things as well. If you lose your job, if you're in a terrible car accident, as a believer who has been called, you're able to rest in the reality that God has a purpose even for those events. And so the question is, are the eyes of your heart enlightened to understand the hope of his calling? Do you have a mindset? Do you have a perspective that sees everything in your daily life as flowing from the hand of God? Do you believe that God is directing everything in your life for a purpose? Do you understand that God has a plan for you to grow you day by day? God's calling us to salvation did not end at the moment we believed. Instead, God's calling us to salvation provides you and I daily hope and confidence as we walk the path that God has ordained for us to travel. Is this your mindset? Are you resting in God's purpose for your life? The second mindset that God wants us to have as believers is a perspective that is comfortable in God's choice of me. Comfortable in God's choice of me. I struggle to come up with a word to describe the kind of mindset that a rich person has that should be true of us as believers spiritually. But comfortable works because there is an element of comfort that comes when someone is wealthy, right? We sometimes describe rich people as living comfortably, often thinking that they don't have a care in the world. All their needs are met. Of course, the reality is many times financially wealthy people are sometimes some of the most miserable people in the entire world. They're not living comfortably in that sense. The Bible explains why that is. We're not going to talk about that now. But as believers, we actually can live comfortably in the wealth of our salvation, just like a rich person can live comfortably in their financial wealth. Look at the specific wording of Paul's second prayer request here in verse 18, that he's praying for his readers, which include you and I, to have our eyes of our heart enlightened to. Do you see it there at the end of verse 18? The first one is, what is the hope of his calling? The second one is, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Now, many times throughout the New Testament, as believers, we are described as rich. Of course, we understand that our riches are spiritual, which are much better than any amount of material riches. And so Paul is praying here that as believers, we will know, we will understand just how rich we are in Christ. And as the eyes of our heart are enlightened to this truth, we're going to have a mindset, we're going to have a perspective that will cause us to live comfortably in God's inheritance of us. Paul's already reminded us of this truth back in verse number 5, as he reminded us that as believers, we have been adopted. As God's sons and daughters, we have all the rights and privileges that come with that incredible position. We also saw in verse 11 that we have obtained an inheritance. Our inheritance is, as Peter describes in 1 Peter 1:4, an inheritance which is imperishable. It is undefiled. It will not fade away. It is reserved. It is guaranteed in heaven for us. As a result, as believers, we are the richest people in the entire world. And so the question again is, are we living like the rich people we are? Or is our mindset, is our perspective that we are poor, needy, helpless individuals with no hope, no purpose in this life? Are you living, as Paul says here, comfortably in the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in us? Look again at that phrase. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Did you catch that? It's his inheritance. You see, as believers, we have not just received an inheritance. We are an inheritance. God the Father has promised God the Son a bride, or as we see here in verse 18, an inheritance. Who is that inheritance? You and I are. Believers are. This is how rich we are in Christ. And so as we come to understand and appreciate the wealth of our salvation and all that God has done for us, we are able to live comfortably in God's inheritance of us by abiding in God's riches of salvation. To abide means to remain, to be connected to get one's strength from. And so each and every day, as believers, we have the opportunity and privilege of abiding, of living as the incredibly rich people we are in Christ. Thus, we have hope. We have purpose. We have an incredible destiny that begins right now. So what does this actually look like in our daily lives? One example is having a mindset, having a perspective that enables us as believers to rejoice no matter what happens in life. Understand, God doesn't call us to rejoice in the bad things that happen. We're not rejoicing over the sin. But we are rejoicing in God. We're rejoicing in the incredible salvation he has given to us. And so no matter how bad our circumstances may be, we're able to rejoice in God because we are the richest people in the entire world. We are abiding in, we are focused on the incredible riches of our salvation that God has given to us. This is exactly where the Apostle Peter goes in 1 Peter 1. Earlier we looked at verse 4 talking about our inheritance, but look what he says in verse 6. In this, referring to the glories of the glorious truth of our salvation, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. You see, Peter reminds us that as we are abiding in God's riches of salvation, we're able to be comfortable in God's inheritance of us, even as we go through various trials in life. Now, how does that work? You may be thinking, how can a person rejoice as they're going through trials? The answer is, when a believer has a mindset, has a perspective that has been enlightened to the incredible riches and inheritance we have in Christ, the believer is able to see that all the trials of this life are simply temporary. They're not going to last forever. This is why Paul refers to them as light and momentary. But secondly, the believer who has this mindset understands, knows, and believes that God has a purpose for these trials. The believer understands that God is able to use these trials for his good and God's glory. Thus, he is able to live comfortably in God's inheritance even as he is suffering here on this earth. But it all goes back to that mindset, that perspective that the Holy Spirit enables a believer to have. Because remember, this doesn't come naturally to a person. This is the result of the Holy Spirit working in the believer's life, enabling them to see, enabling them to understand just how rich we are in Christ. You could think of it this way. Most of us would not be too happy if food and gas prices tripled in the next month alone. Now, why? Well, because that's going to stretch our paycheck more than it's already being stretched right now. But the billionaire who is living comfortably will barely blink an eye at that price jump. And in a similar way, we as believers are billionaires spiritually. Thus, we are not thrown into a tizzy when God brings trials in our lives because we know that we have access to the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints. We simply continue to comfortably abide in the riches of God's salvation. Is that how you think? Is that your mindset? The final truth that God wants the eyes of our heart to be enlightened to know, is the incredible power that God has given us. The mindset that the Holy Spirit develops in us is courage in God's power toward me. Courage. Do you know, do you understand the incredible power of God that you as a believer have experienced? Look again at what the text says. This is the third thing that Paul is praying that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened to. You see in verse 19 that word what. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. As a believer, you and I have experienced and have access to the same power that raised Christ from the dead. The same power that brought Christ up from the grave has also transformed you and I from the inside out, making us new creatures in Christ. That was a powerful act of God. The same power that has raised Christ and seated him at the right hand of the Father is the same power that is available to you and I each and every day. And a person who truly understands this, a person who has the eyes of the heart enlightened to know this, will have a mindset of courage. And why not? When you know that you have access to all the power that you will ever need, is there any reason to be worried? Is there any reason to be afraid? Is there any reason to sit in a corner with your head in your hands? Is there any reason to be discouraged or depressed? Is there any reason to be overwhelmed by the trials of life? Is there any reason to give in to the temptation to sin? And the answer is absolutely not. Because of God's power, we are able to live in victory. But as you and I have discovered, that's not how we always live. I'll be the first to say that I do not and I cannot always live in God's power. There are days when I am discouraged. There are days when I give in to the temptation to sin. There are days when I give in to worry. This is why I daily need a mindset reset. I need this reminder that as a believer, I have access to God's power in every area of my life. Because God has saved me, because God is transforming me from the inside out, I am able to live in courage. Because remember, there is no lack to God's power. There is no limit to the amount of God's power that we are able to have in us to strengthen us. The limit is us. Because of our sin, we are not living in God's power. We are not taking full advantage of the incredible power that God has given us. Now keep in mind, this power is not the ability to do anything we want or to conquer any problem before us. Instead, this power is the power to walk by faith through the trials that God brings into our lives. This is the power that enables us to say no to temptation, to control the thoughts that are floating around in our brains. This power is the energy of the Holy Spirit that is needed to live life in a God-honoring way in everything. I don't know about you, but I need this mindset reset. I need to be reminded of the incredible power that God has provided for me in saving me from my sins and enabling me to walk in victory. But yet again, I so often doubt God's power. Can you relate to that? I live life as if it all depends on me and my supposed strength, which never gets me very far at all. I look at the trials in front of me and conclude that it's hopeless. There's absolutely no way to proceed. Or I worry. I become discouraged as I meditate on all the difficulties around me. And the more that I focus and review in my mind those difficulties, the more I doubt God's power. I start to think that my situation is unique. I think God can help everyone else, but not me. My trial is too difficult. My situation is too complex. Yes, God's power is real, but it cannot really help my circumstances. Do you ever think like me? Many times we don't actually say, or maybe we don't even think those words, but the way we are processing life, the way we are handling difficulties and temptations reveals that we majorly doubt God's power. But look again at the text. How great is God's power? Verse 20, God's power raised Christ from the dead. None of us can even raise a dead fly from the dead, right? But God's power has raised Christ from the dead. And that's not all. Look again at verse 20. God's power has seated Christ at the Father's right hand. Verse 21, God's power has exalted Christ above everything and everyone. God's power has exalted Christ over all the angels. That's who Paul is describing here in verse 21 as he lists rule, authority, power, and dominion. God's power has exalted Christ above the most popular, most powerful people in the entire planet. There is not a single name that you could drop that Christ has not been raised over. And that is true for all of history, right now, and for all of eternity as well. Or as Paul says here at the end of verse 21, not only in this age, but in the one to come. God's power has raised Christ to the top position in the entire universe. That same power is the power that God has given us as believers. And so the question is, are we living in God's strength? Do we have courage in God's power toward us by living in God's strength? Are you living day by day in the incredible power of God? Probably one of the most misused verses, one of them, in the entire Bible is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, through him who strengthens me. Athletes often like to use that verse as a reminder to play harder and do their best. But the correct interpretation, the correct application of this verse is focused mostly on the inside, not on the outside. Plus, this is not strength to do anything we want, but it's a strength to do the will of God as revealed in his word. And so as a believer understands and implements as a believer understands and implements God's power on the inside, he is then able to live each and every day in victory on the outside. Because again, there's no lack to God's strength or ability. That's why Philippians 4:13 says a believer can do all things. That all things is everything that God calls us to do. Not anything that we want to do or set our minds to do. And so we could paraphrase Philippians 4:13 this way. I can trust God and not worry through him who strengthens me. Or I can say no to temptation through God who strengthens me. Or I can live in hope and rejoice instead of living in depression and despair through him who strengthens me. Or you fill in the blank. I can respect my husband, love my wife, not complain, honor my parents. Fill in the blank. Because remember, there is no lack to God's power. The problem, again, rests with us. We try to live life on our own. We have the mindset that God will help us when we need him. We're good for now. But before we know it, we find ourselves in a hole too deep to get out of, dug by our own foolish hands. When the reality is, as believers, we need God's power for every aspect of life, the simple things and the big things. And so when our mindset, when our perspective is focused and leaning completely on God's power, we're able to live each and every day with courage as we walk in the strength that God has promised to provide. And again, keep in mind, you're not going to be perfect. None of us are. No matter how hard you try, you're going to continue to struggle to live in God's strength, to have this mindset of courage. Paul struggled with this as well. Look at Romans 7. But don't give up. Continue to allow the Holy Spirit to enlighten the eyes of your heart, to reset your mindset. So as we close, I pray that I have convinced you that you need a mindset reset. Because the reality is, all of us, myself included, do. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to challenge you to circle or highlight one of the specific truths that we see here in the text that you need the eyes of your heart enlightened to. Circle one of those mindsets that you need to be reset in your heart and thinking. And then once you've circled it, either on your notes or in your copy of God's Word, I encourage you to pray this prayer that Paul is praying here in Ephesians 1:17-21. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to understand, to comprehend these grand truths, that you would understand them, not just intellectually, but with the eyes of your heart. Because the more the eyes of your heart are enlightened in these three ways, the more life will make sense, and you and I will have purpose. So here they are again. First, God has chosen you to salvation, not just to spare you from hell, but to grow and mature you day by day into the image of Christ. Secondly, God has provided you and I the best inheritance ever. We are the richest people in the entire world. And finally, let's not forget, let's not ignore the power of God that is available to each one of us. Let's walk with courage as we live in God's strength day by day. Because remember, it's not about us. We are able to live this way, have this mindset, because Christ is our hope in life and death. That's our closing song. I invite you to stand with me as we sing, Christ our hope in life and death. The verses remind us of the work that Christ has accomplished and continues to accomplish in our lives day by day. But then the chorus calls us to rejoice in God and praise him because he truly is our hope in all of life and death. Let's sing it together.